Our Father in heaven, what a joy it is to come as your people, to hear your word, to know that you love us, that you speak to us. And so we pray now that our hearts will be opened, that your spirit would be working in us to grasp hold of this truth. Our Father, we pray that we would be open to you, open to your teaching, open to your correction and your rebuke, open to your encouragement. Lord, ready to hear from you as you speak through your word. Lord, grant us grace to understand and a heart that is eager to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, health is on a lot of people's minds lately. The coronavirus has been declared a pandemic by the World Health Organization, and entire regions around the world are under quarantine to try and curb the spread. And, of course, whenever governments are involved, people are frustrated with the government because there's conflicting advice being given by different agencies and different governments around the world. And while there are many who aren't trusting the media and saying this is all just media hype, media stirring up the panic, the medical experts do seem to say that this virus is spreading fast. But the advice that's been given to try and help people to stay healthy, to try and prevent them from catching this virus, they're all fairly stock standard things, aren't they? Wash your hands regularly. Try not to touch your face. Put fingers in mouths. Even being careful of shaking hands. All of these make sense when trying to stay healthy in what is a worldwide cause for concern. They make sense for when there isn't this threat of a new virus. We should be washing our hands regularly. We should be being careful of what we're touching. Of course, our health depends on more than that. A healthy diet, exercise, whether we smoke, how much alcohol we drink, all of that has an impact on the health of our bodies. But that's only thinking about our physical bodies. Because the Bible says that the church is the body of Christ. And so what does it look like for a church to be healthy? If the World Health Organization was to release advice for a church to stay healthy, what would it be? Probably not very good advice. Let's focus on Paul's advice. How can we as a church work hard at being spiritually healthy? What does spiritual health look like? Paul answers that question in these verses. And while there's more that the Bible has to say about this, here Paul's answer is, a healthy church is a growing church. And that's our main point this morning. A healthy church is a growing church. And we'll explore that idea under three headings. First, in verses 1 to 6, a healthy church grows in unity. In verses 7 to 14, a healthy church grows in maturity. And third, verses 15 to 16, a healthy church grows in love. A healthy church is a growing church. And so let's turn to our first heading in verses 1 to 6. A healthy church grows in unity. And as you look at verse 1, notice that word, therefore. Whenever you see that word in the Bible, it's always a good idea to ask yourself, what is the therefore, therefore? What is it reminding us of? The first three chapters of Ephesians have been all about God's grace. God has blessed the church with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He's saved them from God's judgment, not because they'd earned it, purely because of his mercy. He'd united believing Jew and Gentile into one family, one people, so that there's no rivalry, no pride, no feelings of inferiority. And twice Paul has prayed that they would understand this gospel more and more, this message, this understanding of what God has done for them more and more. And so now, chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. He's given them doctrine, what they're to understand, and now his focus is fixed on how they are to live in response to that doctrine. How can we walk worthy? What does that mean? Verse 3, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul's already spoken about how believers are made one. In verses 4 to 6, he summarizes what they're united around. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We are to be united around God and his gospel. Now, some people look at verses like these and they get concerned about the fact that there are so many different denominations in Australia, in the world, in Eagle Hawk. And they think that that is a sign of disunity. They want denominations to join together. And that was the impulse for the Uniting Church when that began. But these verses aren't calling for unity around a structure. They're calling for unity around God and his gospel. Because the tragedy is, there are denominations that have churches where some believe that Jesus is God and that he is the only way to the Father, and yet others in that same denomination don't. Some are faithful to the teaching that, say, homosexuality is sinful, but others celebrate it. And yet, they are united in their structure. But we're called to be more than just united in structure. We're to be united and maintain unity around God and his gospel. So we, as a Presbyterian church here, we are able to rejoice with the Bible-believing church down the road when they grow, regardless of whether they are Presbyterian or not. If they believe the gospel, we can rejoice that God is using them, that God is saving people, maturing his people. But here Paul isn't just calling for unity between different churches and different denominations. He's calling for unity to be maintained within the Ephesian church itself, within our church. And how do we do that? Verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. A healthy church grows in unity, and that means humility. And it means patience. Being willing to put up with it when people treat you unfairly, because God has forgiven you for worse. It means putting up with things that aren't your cup of tea for the sake of others. A healthy church is a growing church. It grows in unity around God and his gospel. And it grows in maturity. Our second point in verses 7 to 14. Verse 7, to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. In his grace, God hasn't only saved those with faith in Jesus, but he's given to them a gift, each of them, has received a gift. Jesus had come down to earth, God became man, and he willingly went to the cross. He descended to go to the cross. He willingly suffered the shame of being judged for sins that he didn't commit, so that his people could find forgiveness. He died so his people wouldn't have to, so we could have eternal life. But that wasn't the end. He had descended, but then he ascended. He went to sit on the throne in heaven, raised from death, and from there he poured out gifts on his people. God wants unity, but he doesn't want everyone to be the same. Not everyone gets the same gift. We are different, and he gives different gifts. And incidentally, that's why we need one another. Because we don't have everything, we need to be joined to the church where there is other things that we don't have. People have different gifts to us. And Paul focuses on four of those gifts, four of those people in verse 11. It says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Now that might look like five to you, but in the original language, in the Greek, pastors and teachers are actually joined together as the one thing. You might say pastor teachers with a little hyphen between them. They're the one thing. Some of these gifts aren't given anymore. Paul said in chapter 2, verse 20, you might remember, that apostles and prophets were for the foundation of the church, for its very beginning. But still, we benefit from them and their ministry, even though they're not around us anymore. We benefit from their ministry because we have the Bible, which has come from them. And we benefit from evangelists and pastor teachers. Now, Paul, in this verse, he focused on those with teaching gifts because they are important, especially important, for the health of his church. It's through teaching that a healthy church can grow in maturity. Now, we're going to focus on verses 12 to 13 more fully next week. But you can see that those who teach God's word are there to train others for the work of ministry. Now, why is that? Verse 13, to come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Now, but you might say, didn't Jesus want us to be like children? And you're right, he does. In Matthew 18, verse 3, he says, "Unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God," the kingdom of heaven, rather. We are supposed to be trusting, relying completely on Jesus, like children rely on their parents for everything. Little children, infants, they can't do anything for themselves. They need their parent. They are completely reliant on someone else to help them. And that's what we are like in salvation. We are completely reliant on Jesus. But that doesn't mean that we are to be ignorant like children. Paul's been pushing this idea of the need for greater understanding throughout the letter to the Ephesians. I had a friend at uni who was extremely gullible. At the time, I was living with some friends, and we must have had her and others over for a meal, and it was time for dessert, and she asked if she could have a spoon. And straight away, without thinking about it, completely deadpan, I said, "No, we don't have spoons. We don't believe in spoons." And she looked at me and said, "Why?" This girl was studying law, by the way. That was a bit of a worry. We are not supposed to be gullible. A healthy church grows in maturity, knowing Jesus, able to spot error. Don't be childish in your understanding of Jesus and the gospel. God wants you, verse 13, perfect, or a better translation, mature. A healthy church is a growing church. It grows in unity, in maturity, and thirdly, verses 15 to 16, in love. We're not supposed to be taken in by lies about God and his gospel, but verse 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Speaking the truth in love. It's so easy to do one of those, but not the other. Some people find it really easy to speak the truth. They can spot something that's wrong a mile off. It might be sin, a wrong attitude, or a view of the Bible that's a bit skewy, a bit off. And when they spot it, bang, they are off and racing, ready to unload, tell this person what they have done or thought that is completely wrong. They are zealous for the truth, and that is a good thing. They are zealous for the truth. They can sniff heresy a mile off. They can spot someone who doesn't understand how things are supposed to be done. They know all the theological terms, all the important people that have gone down throughout church history. They know the truth. But when they speak the truth, unity shatters. They aren't kind, gentle, patient. Instead of gently leading someone to the truths of Scripture, like you should lead a horse to water, they bash people over the head. In their wake, people are bruised and battered, resentful, unwilling to hear the truth anymore because of how it has been said. Now, for others, it's the opposite. Because they want to love people and not hurt them, which is admirable, they never speak the truth. They just want people to be united together, loving one another. But real Christian unity is centered around the truths of God and his gospel. Unity that isn't centered around anything, unity just for the sake of unity, that's dangerous. It's like seeing a young child all on her own, tottering towards the road and doing nothing about it. Nothing to stop her. We have the truth. And so let's speak it. But speak it in love. Gently, kindly, patiently. See, we understand if we're loving. We understand when people don't get it straight away. We commit ourselves to them, leading them step by step towards the truth. Biting back our frustration when we keep needing to teach that same truth over and over until finally they get it and we can move on to something else. And as we do that, we grow up into Christ. We will know more about him. We will become more like him by the power of his Spirit working in us. We will become a healthy church as we grow in love. Now notice the body language that's popped up again. It was in verse 4 and here it is again in verse 16. We're to be knit together, committed to one another, each doing our share. In this letter, Paul keeps elevating the glory, the importance of his church and its unity. And I said this a few weeks ago, but it bears repeating here, that our commitment to one another and to the gospel, one way that we as a Presbyterian church reflect that is through membership. If you've been with us for a while and you feel as though this is your home, then please do speak to me about membership. and what that means. I'd love to go through it with you so that you can truly be counted as part of this body, contributing to our health, able to serve, contributing to the health of this church as you grow in your health, in your spiritual health. Now, if you're not a Christian and you're confused by this gospel, what it means that Jesus died to save sinners, stick around. Have a chat with someone here, with me. Ask questions. We would love to help you understand who Jesus is, what he came to do, what he offers you right now. Because the reality is, like Paul has said here, there is one God and there is one way to him. Only through Jesus. Only through Jesus, who brings forgiveness through his death. He invites you now to trust him, to become a child of God. If you want to explore that idea more, let me know. Or you can tick the correct box on the contact card in front of you. We've seen that a healthy church grows in unity. Christian, are you helping this church do that? Are you bearing with people who are different than you, who do things differently, who think differently? Are you humble, willing to not get your own way all the time? Are you willing to put up with things that aren't your cup of tea so that unity can be maintained? We live in a culture that is ready to chop and change anything. Anything if it's convenient. Let's not make church one of those things. Let's fight for unity, sacrificing our comfort and preferences for the sake of others. And when we do, we'll find that we end up growing to be more like Christ ourselves. A healthy church grows in maturity. To do that, its members, individual members, need to grow. So what efforts are you making? Here's a challenge for you. Every day this week, read through Ephesians. Read through the whole letter every day. My audio Bible tells me that it'd take about 20 minutes. Now that's reading out loud. I think probably if you're reading it just silently, you'd be able to get through it a bit quicker. But if that's too much, how about you commit yourselves to one chapter a day, one chapter of Ephesians a day, which means that by the time we meet again next week, you will have read through the whole letter of Ephesians by yourself. Immerse yourself in God's word. You'll know, so that you'll know the truth, you'll know more of Christ and his gospel, and you will be growing in maturity. And when you grow, the church grows, because you are part of the church. And a healthy church grows in love. Are you loving the people here? Are you committed to them? Are you willing to speak the truth? Sometimes the painful truth, in love to them. You see, one day Jesus will come back. We don't know when, but the question is, or one question at least is, will he find us to be a healthy church, united, mature, loving? Or will he find us to be sickly, suffering disunity, immaturity and selfish apathy for one another? Let's work hard at being healthy, rejoicing in the calling that he has given us by his grace. Let's pray. Our God and Father in heaven, we praise you for the glorious gospel of Christ, which knits us together, builds us together in love. We pray, our Lord, that we would indeed grow, that we would be united together. Lord, that we would bear with one another, that we would be patient with one another. Lord, we pray that we would be growing in our maturity, in our understanding of your word, your gospel, of you. Oh God, we pray that we would be growing in love. As we remember the great love that you have shown us, as we remember that greater love has no man than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. Our Father, encourage us. Build us up. Grow us as your church, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.